today on It's Time.
But you know, what sustains us through the years is the love that God has for us and the love that God, that we should have for God.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
Genesis 29 is where we'll be reading from today, looking at the life of Jacob. We remember chapter 28 and all that Isaac had these two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau was a rugged man. His name meant hairy. And we remember he had no real regard for things of God. But Jacob did, but his name meant heel catcher. He was a scoundrel. It meant somebody that would take your goat when you weren't looking. Well, we remember Esau comes in, he's hungry, and we remember he said, give me some of that stew, Jacob, that you're cooking. And he says, well, I'll give you some if you sell me your birthright. I go, what good's my birthright if I starve to death right now? Yeah, give me some. So he gave him his birthright, sold it to him for a mess of pottage, the Bible tells us. Well, we remember that when it came time for the blessings to be handed out by Isaac, we remember that Isaac liked beef jerky. I don't know what it was, but it says it was venison. It was tasty. It was savory. And he told Esau, go kill something and cook it up for me, and I'll give you the birthright. Now, Jacob knew that the birthright was supposed to go to Jacob, not to Esau. But Jacob was going to do his own thing. He liked jerky, and I'm a wheeler dealer here. Let's make a deal. And so he did. Well, as he goes out, his mom hears it. Says, Jacob, come here quickly. I'll cook you up some meat. And you go in and you tell your father that you're Esau and that you'll get the blessing. Yeah, but what if he touches me? She goes, here, wrap yourself in animal skin. By the way, to get an animal skin, you had to kill the animal. And we remember that in going back to the book of Genesis, when man and when Adam and Eve sinned, they sewed fig leaves together. Very scratchy. Big leaves, real scratchy. God gave them skins of animals to wear, which required the shedding of blood for their covering. Now, it's interesting that the shedding of blood had to transpire for that animal skin to be wrapped on Jacob, the smooth boy. So when his father filled him and goes, oh, yeah, you're hairy. That's you. Now, I don't know how somebody could feel an animal skin and think it was their son. So Esau had to be a really hairy dude. But he said, yeah, well, you cook food like Esau. You feel like Esau. His mom said, here, put some of his clothes on so you'll smell like you've been out in the weeds. So he did. You smell like Esau too, but your voice is wrong. But, you know, we remember the story when Isaac heard that he had blessed Jacob instead of Esau. The Bible says, and the words in the Hebrew are, he shook violently. Why is that? I believe that he knew that the blessing was supposed to go to Jacob. He tried to give it to Esau, and I believe that quaking was because of fear, because God still had his way. But because of that, Esau wanted to kill Jacob. So his mom says, listen, you go stay with my brother Laban. Go back to there. Don't take a wife from around here like your brother did. You go and go back to my father's family and take a wife from there. because otherwise Esau's going to try to kill you. And so he packs it up and he's headed. And last week we talked about the ladder. He was dreaming. He saw the angels going up and down the ladder, which tells me there's a lot of angelic activity on this earth. We're not to worship angels, but we need to be aware of their presence. Even Satan brings this up to Jesus when he said to him, he said, "Cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple, for it is written in your word that the angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." It's interesting that Satan knows that there are guardian angels for us. I think that's important to always realize. Now, we're never to pray to him. We're never to talk to him. But the Bible says that God puts his angels in charge over us. That's one of the great things. In fact, if you think about it in your life, I'll bet you there are times when you know you should have died and you didn't. It was a divine miracle. I remember one day, I was probably 12 or 13 years old, and we were down at Twin Falls and we were going back to this fishing hole, me and my cousin. And I'm going along this edge, and it's right where the canyon goes straight down. You know, it's weird when you're young, you do really kind of goofy things. Well, my cousin says, "Grab the weeds alongside of you, the bushes, in case your feet slip, you'll hold yourself up." And I go, "I'm not going to fall." And I, maybe I should. And so I was going from hand to hand, and sure enough, my feet slipped. And I remember hanging, looking down and hanging on the weeds. And he came back and he pulled me up. And I thought, I should have died that day. Those are just a few. And I mean, friends, I believe every one of us can think of the near misses in the cars and wrecks and falling off ladders and all this stuff where we should have died. God keeps his hand on us. And I think that's really important to recognize. So we find out that Jacob is on his way to his uncle's place. And this is where the story begins in chapter 29, verse 1. So Jacob went on to his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And as he looked, he saw a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep laying by it, for out of that well they were watered, they would water the flocks, a large stone at the well's mouth. Evidently, this was more of a spring than it was a well, like we think a deep hole in the ground. This was probably coming out of the side of a mountain. And they would roll a stone to let the water dam up behind it. Then they'd roll a stone away and whoosh, here come the water. Now the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and then put the stone back in its place in the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, "My brethren, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." This is the land of his uncle. And then he said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." Well, this is getting better for, of course, Jacob, because he was getting close to home plate. And so he said to them, "Is he well?" And they said to him, "He is well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." Then he said, "Look, it is still high day, and it is not time for the cattle to be watered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks have gathered together. And they have rolled a stone from the well's mouth, then we will water the sheep." So it's interesting here that he is telling them, "Why don't you do your job?" And they said, "Well, we can't because all the critters aren't here when we roll the stone back. And so we're just going to stand around and we're going to wait till the flocks get here with the cattle. But we're going to roll the stone back and then let the water the animals." Now notice this. "And while he was yet speaking, Rachel came with her father's sheep, and she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone away from the well's mouth. Now, by the way, right here we find something interesting. Before it says, we're waiting for the men to come and roll the stone away. Now, I don't know whether he was trying to do the I'm Arnold thing, you know. You ever see those guys, they lift weights on TV and they're doing their, you know, and I remember one time there was a guy that was interviewing one of those muscle builders and, you know, he was flexing. You gotta really use your imagination with me. But he was flexing and, you know, it looked like mice running up and down under his skin, you know. You know, did a jumping jack and popped his head, you know, big old muscles. And he goes, what do you do with all that strength? And the guy goes, I do this. No, but what do you do with all that strength? This. It's all for show. Well, here is an interesting place. It just said, we're waiting for the men to come to roll the stone away. And he sees Rachel and he just goes over, watch this. And by himself, he rolls the stone away. I kind of, you know, how guys impress girls is an interesting thing. In fact, this is one of the things in the book of Song of Solomon. It says, the way a man is with a maid. Proverbs. It says, the way a man is with a maid. How you impress people. Girls, you know, they do their thing. Guys do their thing. I remember out on Whittier Boulevard when I was a kid, we'd cruise. And one of the tricks was, is you'd leave your window up on your car on the driver's side about that far. And that way, when you rested your arm on the window, your muscles looked real big because they were being pushed out by the glass. Things guys do. I mean, just weird stuff. Well, here's the thing. He's demonstrating his strength to this girl that he sees. Now, it appears that it was probably love at first sight because this is highly irregular in this culture to do what you're about to read. And look what it says. He saw the daughter of Laban, and it says that he went and rolled a stone away from the mouth and watered the flocks of Laban, his mother's brother. Now here, verse 11. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Friends, this has got to be one of the weirdest first dates I've ever read about. But it says that he kissed her. This is something that was just not done, especially the first time you meet somebody. And I believe something in his heart bonded to hers. Now, is it possible for love at first sight? Well, evidently, I think this is a good illustration for it. I think it's really scary to do that because our emotions can mislead us. But here we find that he kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice, and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran and came, embraced him and kissed him. Everybody's kissing everybody here, but this was a different kind of kiss. This is the way you would greet somebody in those days. You'd kiss them on the cheek. The way that Jacob kissed Rachel was evidently a lot different. Now, notice it says, she ran and told her father. This is not the first time it was ran and told her father. We remember when the unnamed servant, when Abraham said, don't take a son for a wife for my son Isaac. And he grabs his servant under his thigh and said, you swear to me, you're not going to get a Canaanite woman for my son. Go back to my homeland. And the unnamed servant, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, as that Holy Spirit has gone out into the world looking for a bride for our Father, Son, Jesus Christ, which is us, goes out and the unnamed servant prays and he said, the one that says, can I water your camels is the one. Again, going back to what we mentioned earlier, things out of the ordinary are how oftentimes you find God's will. And so we remember that as he's sitting there praying, the words were not even out of his mouth A girl comes up when he gets back to Abraham's homeland. She says, "Can I water your camels?" And he goes, "Who are you?" And she told him who he was. And so he put on her. She watered the camels, and he put bracelets on her and necklaces on her and nose rings. I mean, he gave her, we did the math based on the current value of gold. It was about $10,000+ worth of bracelets and gold earrings, all that stuff. He just downloaded on her. And so she goes back to her father's house and said, "Hey, I met this servant, he wants to come over here and look at all the gold he's given me." The Bible says Laban booked out to meet this guy. Laban was a greedy guy. We're going to see that fox doesn't lose its flavor as it goes along, doesn't lose its taste, because he's still greedy. We're going to see that. So it came to pass, when Laban heard the report, that he ran to meet him, embraced him, kissed him, and brought him into his house, and he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and of my flesh," and he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now, this is interesting that Laban let Jacob set his own wage. Not something normally happens. He let him set his own wage. Now, you got to remember, when Jacob ran for his life from his brother Esau, he didn't bring anything with him. He didn't say, "Okay, bring the Mayflower moving vans with me here. We're all going to head on back to, you know, homeland." The Bible basically tells us he didn't leave his father's house with anything. And by the way, for those who have been following along, that was the last time he would ever see his mother alive, because as she sent him away. So the thing is, there was a price to pay for all this. But what was really strange is he basically didn't have anything. Now, so what he says, "What should your wages be?" And now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the younger was Rachel. And Leah had delicate or weak eyes. In the Hebrew, it says weak eyes. Now, some people say she had blue eyes, and that was not as attractive as brown eyes were in that culture. But we don't know. She could have just been really nearsighted or farsighted. We don't know exactly what this means, but she wasn't as pretty as Rachel was. And so it says here, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now, Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than somebody else. Stay with me." The deal was made. A couple of things here that we'll find. He said, "I'll serve you 7 years." Seven in the Bible is the number of completion. You have 7 days in a week. You start the eighth day, that's a new week. You have seven notes in a scale. You start the next thing, it's an upper or lower scale. You have 7 years of tribulation on the earth. You find 70 weeks were determined upon the nation of Israel. Seven is the number of completion in the Bible. And so 7 years was a number of completion for him to get his wife. And so we find here that he said, "I'll serve you 7 years." Now, he didn't have anything. Normally, when you were going to marry a girl in those days, in that culture, you would give the father a dowry. And basically what a dowry was alimony in advance, in case for some reason he flaked out, didn't like her, whatever, he could leave, and the dowry then would be passed on to the daughter to sustain her. He didn't have anything. He left with nothing. And so what he offered then was 7 years of labor to gain the younger daughter. And Laban said, "Okay, it's a deal." So Jacob, verse 20, served 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed but a few days to him because of the love that he had for her. You know, that's an interesting verse in the Bible. You know, I know for many of us, we've fallen in love with Jesus. We've given him our heart and our life. And we go through this life, and I know some days we have a lot of trials and a lot of problems. Sometimes they can be financial. Sometimes they can be marital issues. Sometimes they can be family issues with your kids or your kids to your parents. There's a lot of things that can go on. But you know, what sustains us through the years is the love that God has for us and the love that God, that we should have for God. It seems but a short time, but you know, friends, once again, it won't be long, but we'll all be with Jesus. You know, I it's really funny about time. When you're 5 years old, to stand in the corner because you were bad for 5 minutes seems like 200 years. But now a month goes by so fast you can't believe you have to make your car payment again or your house payment again. Or is it time for me to mow the lawn again? I just mowed it. No, that was a couple of days. They say as you get over 50, whenever you go back in time saying, well, yeah, we painted that house a couple of years ago. They said minimally double it because as you get older, you lose track of time. And that's probably true because it's in the relationship of the amount of time you've lived on this earth. 5 minutes isn't much time anymore, is it? But when you've only been on the earth a couple of years, 5 minutes is a long time. You ever been over and gone over and see your friends and you go, well, how's your little kids? And they look at you and go, little? And they come out of the house, they're 6 foot tall. Hi, Dad. And you're looking at them going, who that? Well, that's my little kids. And you realize time moves on. And I think there are things in time that changes time for us. And I believe this is one of those places in the Bible where it talks about it. They call it a chronos in kairos, a moment in time. Now, you'll notice this in your own life. You may not remember any vacations that you took in 10, 15 years ago, except the one where it rained all night, there was a hole in the tent, and your sleeping bag got drenched. Isn't it weird you can remember that? You can't remember what you did in the day. You can't remember if you rode on a boat. You can't remember what you had for dinner, but you remember the rain coming through the roof. That's a chronos and kairos. Some of you will remember what you were doing when you heard that the planes hit the Twin Towers. You remember right where you were at. You don't remember anything else that week, but you remember that. Why is that? Because that was something that happened in time that made all the other time different. Well, this is one of the things that happen in us in our relationship with God, that when we can value the time that we spend with the Lord, that will give us that moment in time that will sustain us through the other times when things are tough. In other words, think about all the scrapes and the near misses that God got you through. And you might be going through something right now saying, God, where are you? I trusted you and now I'm in this mess. And God says, haven't I always got you through every other problem that you've ever had in your life? Well, yeah, but will you get me through this one? Yes, he will. You know, it's funny, oftentimes, I've shared this so many times, but we trust God with our eternity in heaven forever someday. But I don't know if I can trust you today or not, God. That's kind of a big thing, you know. Why? Because it's the time we live in. Again, when Jacob had fallen in love with Rachel, the 7 years seemed like a little bit of time because the love offset the years. Again, as you fall in love with the Lord, that causes the time to change. And that's what you need. Because again, in time, oftentimes we forget God's faithfulness to us as he's brought us through so many things. Well, God, are you going to get me through this one? Yes, he will.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening. And tune in next time for It's Time.